It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Noah Short. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Subia swings. Hit wide in the left field. Coming in to score, the walk-off run from third base is Eric Kennedy. The Longhorns win it 12-2. The Texas Longhorns are Big 12 Conference champions.
Lines. The pitch tapped toward third. Corona on the first. The Longhorns are headed to the Super Regionals. They find off the Oregon Ducks and knock out the Ducks 1-0. Texas survives in their regional. Molly Jacobson, a five-hit shutout to send the Longhorns on to Oklahoma State.
That's how it happened Saturday and Sunday. I guess I should say Monday, because it was this morning that call from Andrew Haynes, like right around 1 a.m., after 1 a.m., I think closer to 1:15 when the game ended last night, but Texas softball advanced in the Super Regionals, beating Oregon in the, if necessary, final game, 1-0. You know, they say game 7 of the regional. My son is in there, goes, what do you mean game 7? They didn't play a series. I'm like, no. It's the 7th game of the regional. They never really explain that, but that's what it is. The if necessary game becomes like game. It sounds like game 7, that sort of thing. But it had that kind of electric atmosphere to it. And, of course, obviously, the Longhorn baseball team wrapping up the Big 12. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you in hour number 2 here of Light the Tower. The reason why the Longhorns were able to win that game or clinch the Big 12 championship on the basis of winning that game. And while I was in a position to make the call that they were Big 12 conference champions, it had to be a twofold thing. Obviously, Texas had to win. And as Jeff and I were talking about last hour, the TCU had to lose to Kansas State. And after they had lost on Friday, Jeff, we had talked about it. I mean, the most of the conventional wisdom said TCU's probably not going to drop more than one. But if they drop one game, it would be the Thursday night game, the first game, which they did.
Yeah, with Jordan Wicks on the mound for K-State.
Who, by the way, it just came down, was named the Big 12 Conference Pitcher of the Week for what he did. So Wicks went 7 2/3 innings in that, and that was a season high for him. He moved in the second place on K-State's all-time strikeout list. And he's just two away from tying the program record. And he put together stretches of 7-9 consecutive hitters retired in recording his 7th quality outing in 14 starts.
Okay. By the way, real quick on the weekly conference awards, Mike Antico, Big 12 newcomer of the week.
That's where we were headed next. I was headed on that also in this segment to mention it. But the other guy, the guy who won player of the week, was Cameron Thompson, the first baseman for the Wildcats. He batted .615 during the week, as did Antico did, by the way. He had 3 straight multi-hit games. That included on Saturday, because Friday, TCU wins. Texas is still one game back because the Longhorns lost on Thursday to West Virginia. Then Texas wins 14-3 on Friday, and so they're still one game back with one game to go. And to get on Saturday, and while they're in the process of putting away West Virginia, On Saturday, as we were reporting, it's 8-4 going to the bottom of the ninth in Manhattan. It's not looking good. And then the first out was recorded. Halen Green, their closer and Big 12 pitcher of the year candidate with 11 saves. He had just picked up his 11th save the day before in the win over K-State, recorded the first out. Then it was single, single, double, double, single, out, single, 3-run homer. All that happened. So single, single, double, then another double, then a single, then an out, then a single, and then So we're trying to describe, you know, what's going on. If it's 8-6, and then all of a sudden it's 8-8. There's two on. Chris Ceballos is at the plate. So I'm calling the Texas game when this happened in Manhattan.
The winning run at second base. Ceballos hits one deep to left. Back is Boyers, and it's gone!
So that's how it ended in Manhattan. It's our good friend Brian Smoller from the K-State Sports Network who called that one. And Chris Ceballos, who played junior college baseball at Orange Coast College with Murphy Staley, the Longhorns reserve infielder. And Roger Wallace got some interviews with some Longhorn players, which you're about to hear. But I told Roger, I said, if you see Murph, tell him he needs to text his boy Ceballos, because he and when you know, and Jeff, I know you remember this very, very well, the Friday night game in Austin, Wicks versus Madden,
yep,
gets overshadowed by the kerfuffle, the dust up, the in your face moment at home plate between Kansas State and Texas, which involved Chris Ceballos,
who in my opinion was the instigator on that whole deal, because I don't know what issue he took with Mike Antico at that point, but his body language toward Antico seemed to be the deal that kind of set the whole thing
on the collision at the plate.
Yeah.
And then you had the three Longhorn infielders ejected, which meant they were out for the two ball game, that game, the two games. So they were out for the two games, Edwards. So you had Cam Williams out, you had Trey Faltini out, and you had Mitchell Daly out. So it meant that they were going to have to get reserve play from Lance Ford. They were going to have to get reserve play from Murphy Staley. They were going to have to get reserve play from Dylan Campbell. And they did. And they all played very, very well on all of that. When the weekend was over, and Staley had a good weekend filling in, we visited with him after the Sunday game, and Roger was talking to him. And we talked about the whole Ceballos thing. And Murphy said, he's a great guy. Was a teammate of mine. We're still close. He said, but I had to show him something, is what he said at the time. So flash forward all the way to this past Saturday. And I said to Roger, if you see Murphy down there, and sure enough, he saw him in the dugout and said, hey, Greg says, you're going to text your boy Ceballos. He says, it's going right now. He was sending the text right then to thank him for that three-run walk-off homer for Kansas State, which was that moment of incredulity, Jeff, where you have a ball game going on that we're still watching, and you made a very good point of saying you officially, is what you were live tweeting out, you were officially not paying attention to the Texas game?
Yeah, because the game in front of me, it was a 10-1 game at that point, so I made a note on the ongoing game thread at Horns 24/7. I said, look, I'm going to stop watching the game in front of me, and I'm watching the K-State-TCU game.
All right. So then when it happened, and like I said, it was a combination of those who already knew were starting to, you know, rumble and go, hey, and then I mentioned on the air, and those who were listening in the ballpark then, of course, really got excited, and this kind of spontaneous ripple roar goes up, and you could see it. I know you must have seen it as well, Jeff. The Longhorn players kind of looking around, mm-hmm, going, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then there were a couple who were actually in the clubhouse and saw it live.
Yeah, I don't know if you touched on this in the first hour before I got in here, but they had a TV in the clubhouse of guys that were – it was guys that either knew they weren't going to play or guys that had already pitched and knew they weren't pitching that day. And really, you know, asked a couple of guys. I don't think
– Well, you're going to hear from a couple of them.
Yeah, I don't think David touched on it. I don't think Coach Pierce did, but I know – Zuby said, look, if it's guys like that, there's no harm in those guys scoreboard watching.
No.
I mean, we said, we don't have to, we can't, but there's no harm in those guys doing it. And right around the time that we had our reaction to it in the press box, right before the crowd reaction, you saw guys sprinting from the clubhouse back into the dugout relaying the news.
Yeah. As Jeff mentioned, one of the guys who couldn't watch it live at the time because he was in the on-deck circle was Zach Zubia.
Zach, the emotion of senior day, and I think everyone saw your relationship with Coach before the game, and then for you to be the guy that ends this. We'll call it a game-winning hit, not a walk-off, because obviously you guys were in control. But what does all that feel like?
I mean, it's surreal. You know, we knew we had a chance to come in and to win a championship this weekend. And, you know, we came out and we did it, and we were really resilient after that loss on Friday. But, I mean, I'm overflowing with emotions. This team has been so fun, and, you know, this team deserves everything. And I'm just so happy to be a part of it. And, you know, it's just these guys are just unbelievable.
What was it like when this place erupted, obviously knowing that Kansas State had just knocked off TCU?
I mean, I was sitting on deck and everyone goes crazy, and I just kind of like lost my head for a second. I mean, I know the game wasn't over, but we still had to compete and get in the box and stuff. But it was a big emotion, flood of emotion for me for sure.
You're one of the guys that does have postseason experience. You were in Omaha. Now it's time to turn the page to Oklahoma City and kind of refocus.
Yeah, you know, we're going to enjoy this one today. We're going to come back tomorrow, come back and travel on Monday, and we're going to get ready to go win another championship this week.
Appreciate it, Zach. Congratulations.
Thank you. Hook and horns, baby.
Yeah, so there was Zach. Pete Hansen gave up two hits on the first two pitches that he threw in the ball game on Saturday, and one run across the plate, but that was it. He did not allow another hit, picked up the win. Pete was also one of the guys who was in the clubhouse because he was done pitching at that time as Roger caught up to him.
Yeah, Pete Hansen joins us right now. First off, two swings right off the bat, and then you settled in. I mean, surprised or kind of expected them to come up hacking?
No, we knew they were going to swing. They were going to try and come out early and get the upper hand. But, you know, I think that's just a credit to what me and Ty and Tristan did all weekend and what we've done all year is just staying with our stuff and staying within ourselves and not letting early stumbles really get to us and just continuing to just go after hitters. And we trust our stuff, and it's been working all year.
I know you know those were the only two hits you allowed tonight, but what was the feeling like when word got out that K-State had taken care of TCU?
I mean, I was in the locker room. I saw the walk-off. It was probably one of the coolest experiences of my life. You know, I mean, that's a huge thing that they had. And, you know, I'm at a loss for words, honestly. It's a dream come true, honestly, and I man, I don't know. This is probably one of the craziest strengths of my life, and we're a couple more championships to win this year.
Yeah, Pete, and you were on the team last year. Obviously, you're 14-3, and everything gets shut down, and I can't imagine what that felt like compared to what this feels like now when you think about just a little over a year ago.
I mean, I just took it in a moment ago and just stood on the field and, you know, really, really took in what this means for our program and for these guys in the clubhouse. I mean, it's senior day, and you know, just winning the Big 12 title was always a big dream of ours, and just, you know, time to get back to work.
All right, thanks a lot, Pete. Thanks. Congratulations.
You're going to start hearing that common thread from guys saying time to go back to work, you know, doing that. Another one of those guys is the guy who got the win in game two of the series on Friday, who also was in the clubhouse watching it, Tristan Stevens.
Tristan, you were a guy, you took on that role as that Saturday guy that middle of the series guy. You answered the bell yesterday. What's this feeling like today?
Man, this just shows all that work we put in, and with COVID ruining our season last year, and for things to go the way they have today, it makes all that work we put in worth it.
When you win your start and then you get to watch something like this, it must be a lot of fun. And then to get word that you know, K-State did what they did.
Oh yeah, no, we heard about the news that K-State walked it off in the dugout. We went crazy. You know, we tried to lock it back in, but, you know, we got to shake K-State's hand tonight.
No doubt. When you think about the feeling you had leaving Arlington, and, you know, nobody said, you know, we're panicking or anything like this, but could you imagine then that we'd be talking about a Big 12 title right now?
Oh, yeah. No, we were confident. We know what we can do. You know, baseball is a marathon. It's full of ups and downs, and you know, we got humbled early on, but we knew what we were capable of, and we went back to work, and, you know, look where we are now.
I know you grabbed that trophy from Zach. What'd that feel like holding that Big 12 trophy?
It was awesome. This was a dream come true for me. This was a dream coming here, and to be able to hold that trophy up, it meant the world to me.
Appreciate it. Good luck in the postseason.
Appreciate y'all.
Now, how about a couple of field players there, like, for example, shortstop Trey Faltini, who had family all around him, and he hopped back on. They were all, you know, family and friends that were through the netting that were visiting with him when Roger tugged on his sleeve.
Yeah, we won't take him away from the friends and family too long, but I can't imagine the emotion you guys had from the disappointment Thursday, thinking, well, maybe we let it slip away to what happened today.
Right. You know exactly that feeling. You know, we thought Thursday we let it slip away, but you know, baseball's a crazy game. You never know what can happen. So we were, you know, definitely counting on Kansas State to win, and it happened today. And you know, we had to do our job still. So I'm proud of our team for, you know, staying focused and doing what we had to do. But you know, it's always good to be Big 12 champs.
Speaking of crazy, have you ever had a celebration in the middle of a game because of what happened in another game?
That's the first time I've seen that. Actually, for the, like, first 5 seconds, I was like, what's going on? I don't see anything going on the field. But then I kind of realized that Kansas State must have won. So it was an exciting feeling.
Talking to Pete about last year, you guys are freshmen going, all right, we're ready for you know, our first college season. You're 14-3, and then it all gets shut down. Can you think of that emotion compared to this?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is what we've been working for since, you know, we found out that our season was cut short. You know, all the late nights, early mornings, you know, weights and long days of practice, it paid off. So it's good to see that work pay off.
Coach Pierce giving Trey a hug. But we're going to sneak one more question in about, I know you're one of the leaders on this team. Time to refocus and think about Oklahoma City and beyond, obviously.
No, yeah, exactly. You know, we won today and, you know, have the rest of the day to celebrate. But starting tomorrow, you know, we have Tripp and, you know, we got to win that Big 12 tournament. That's the next thing in mind. You know, we're happy with what we're doing now, but we're not content with it. We want to go out there and, you know, win Big 12 and then, you know, regionals and super regionals and hopefully Omaha. So that's what's on our minds right now.
All right, congratulations, Trey.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you started to hear that common theme through a lot of the guys. And one other player to hear from, a guy got his first collegiate triple, Silas Ardoin.
Craig said we have to talk to the catcher that had his first career triple today. So what did that feel like? I mean, Zach Zuby has got three. Now you've got a triple. You're putting all those myths to sleep about, you know, catchers and big guys running.
Yeah, it felt good. It was a long run, but that's just the first of many. First of many.
All right, tell me about Pete Hansen today, because he gives up those two hits. He doesn't allow another hit. What's it like behind the plate with Pete when he's got it in a nice rhythm?
Yeah, they were on the P early, but you know what? He just came out with his best stuff. Every pitch he competed, he didn't let anything shake him, you know. That's what I love about Pete. He's always going to come at you with his best stuff.
I want to ask you about what DJ has meant to you this season. He got the start yesterday, but I know he's been a big cheerleader for you, a guy that, you know, might hang his head in some circumstances but hadn't done that.
Yes, sir. DJ means the world to me. You know, he's had my back since day one. Every time I'm out there, he has my back, and I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me. He's, with all his experience, he's just helped me out so much.
I've asked everybody, what was it like to celebrate in the middle of a game because of another game?
that was the first for sure, you know. Whenever the fans went crazy for Kansas State winning, it was a good feeling, you know, whenever we had a big lead and we knew we had it, but we knew we had to finish the game, so.
Yeah, kind of like the mindset now, just getting started.
That's it. We got a couple more championships to win.
All right, appreciate it, Silas.
No problem, thank you.
And in the end, the final analysis, the conversation with David Pierce about all the unique and extraordinary things that happened on the day.
This moment, what's it feels like? You're drenched. What a day here.
Oh, man, when I heard the crowd roar today, I knew exactly what happened. And I was speechless, and I was at third base box by myself and just kind of got a little teary-eyed. But I'm just so proud of our team. I mean, when you talk about a group that just fights together every single day, they have each other's back, they have a ton of fun. You see them going for plays, play after play, pitching our tails off. I mean, I'm just really proud. We talk about winning five championships and putting yourself in an opportunity for that. And, you know, that's the first one. You win the first one, now we move to the next one. So we'll get ready for the tournament, but we're going to enjoy this one.
They come out hacking, as I'm sure you thought they would, and they hit a couple of balls hard off Pete Hansen. By the way, those first two batters are the only hits he gave up, but your guys responded. I know you were bummed out. You only got three with bases loaded, no outs, but still the response was there again, just like it was last night when you needed a little momentum.
No doubt. I mean, and we've been so good in creating those big innings, and that happened today, and then we just kept tacking on. Just a real professional approach all day, and really, really proud of them.
David, when you guys left Arlington and you had to answer the questions about, no, we're not pushing the panic button, I trust this team, and then all year long you've talked about how you haven't had to say a lot to this team. What has this team done for you, and you and the staff have done for this team to get to this point?
Well, I credit the leadership on the team, and I credit such a hell of a job by our assistant coaches. I mean, Sean moving to the pitching side, Phillip and Tulo becoming two peas in a pod, and they just work so well together. And then our balance with the team, and just how hard the team will work. But not only that, it's just they grasp information. They want to be a sponge and just keep getting better and better. And we talked about being better and better every single day. And, you know, we dropped a tough game on Friday night. Look at our response. We had two big days and just continue to play. So just, I mean, you look at Ty Madden and Tristan Stevens and then Pete coming, you know, getting his form back. And then Cole Quintanilla rolls out there 95, 96 with just a great slider. And then you just go down the list of freshmen like Whitty and, Mitch and Trey. Just go on and on. The transfers, it's just unbelievable how our coaches have put this together and how this has turned out.
And finally, David, you're just getting started. You got a lot of baseball. And to see a guy like Eric Kennedy maybe get a little confidence in the plate had to be huge today.
I think that's, you know, when you got guys like Eric that grind so hard and they want it so bad and to see the results on a day like today, man, what do you say? Just so proud of Eric, proud of this team.
All right, congratulations. See you in Oklahoma City.
Hook 'em horns. Appreciate it, Raj.
Thanks.
So there it is. It's the recap of all of it, and the other impressive thing was that they continue to talk about, you know, this is the first one, and they're excited and energized and all that stuff to be headed for Oklahoma City and the chase of for the second championship, the Big 12 tournament. We had somebody on the Specs text line said, "I'm confused. Did they win it outright?" They did not win the championship outright. It was a shared title with TCU. It is correct in phraseology, however, to say the Texas Longhorns are Big 12 Conference champions. It's also correct to say TCU is Big 12 Conference champions. Somebody disagreed with whatever the post I had on Facebook that said, you know, about winning a share of the conference championship and drawing the number one seed in the tournament, and said, "I disagree with shared title. They won it outright." It doesn't matter
if you disagree or not. It is what it is.
It's the Big 12 policy that if you have the same conference record, you are both champions.
Crap if you disagree.
Said, "I disagree." I understand.
Like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy.
Like, yeah, something like that. What was it? Somebody said it's like, "I was a victim of a hate crime." That's not a hate crime. Well, I hated it. You know, they're both champions.
Guys, I disagree with the fact that our show ends at noon, so I'm going to check out at about 11:40 and go to the house.
The reward for Texas winning the head-to-head series in Fort Worth is they can draw the number one seed in the tournament. That's the separation on the. But they're both conference champions. TCU got a trophy too. Now, as I mentioned on the air, I doubt they went out and posed for it on the field of Manhattan.
Probably
after
not.
Halen Green gave up the walk-off three-run homer to lose it. I doubt they did that.
They could have done that on Saturday after their win over K-State when they clinched a share of it.
Yep, absolutely. On Friday? Yeah. Yeah, they could have done that after.
Friday.
On Friday. Yeah. So they could have done that. So, yes, they're both conference champions. They are. Now, chase number two for the Big 12 tournament is up next.
In the grand scheme of things, Craig, it doesn't matter because, well, let's say this for the notebook. I want to talk some big picture Big 12 stuff in the notebook today.
Yeah, we'll do that coming up. And they play 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon against the winner of the 8-9 play-in game, West Virginia and Kansas. They play tomorrow night at 6 o'clock there in Bricktown. Texas will face the winner of that. That's a single elimination game, that play-in. And then Texas starts the double elimination tournament on Wednesday to play at 4 o'clock against the winner of that game. And showing up on the nighttime side of that is Bedlam, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. All right, we do have the notebook up next when we continue with Light the Tower. On the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. And we're live local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
You know, I found all my people, my peeps, right into.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig and Jeff with you. I like how somebody on the Specs text line texted in the Jeff of
Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy. I don't believe you. Talking about the Big 12 tie bar. You said somebody took Danny Davis to issue with it as well?
Yeah, Danny and I were talking about it on Saturday. That it's like, well, you know, this is what it is. They share the Big 12 title. No, that's not right. They beat TCU, so they're the champions. TCU's not. And Danny's trying to explain, no, it's a co-championship. They finished with the same records. Well, then why is David Pierce holding the Big 12 championship trophy and TCU's not? Well, reasons. I don't know what you want to say at that point.
TCU got one too. They probably didn't pose with it on the field in Manhattan.
We'll talk about it here in a second. All why right. None of that in the big picture really matters.
Couldn't agree with you more as we roll right into another edition of The Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
Let's start with the D1Baseball.com Top 25, Craig, which dropped earlier this morning. Texas, I was a little bit surprised, holding on to the number two spot at the end of the regular season. Arkansas, obviously. You realize Arkansas did not drop a weekend series all year?
Perfect. Like 14 series. Yeah.
Incredible job by the Razorbacks. In Texas, the only weekend series the Longhorns dropped was the one to Texas Tech that had that wonky Saturday game that had to get finished up on Sunday. As far as Big 12 teams go, Texas Tech coming in at number 5 and TCU all the way down to number 15. So now in the grand scheme of things, as far as the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee and how they're going to seed teams, a top 25 poll is not going to hold a ton of weight. What is going to hold some weight, Craig, is the RPI.
Mm-hmm.
And as of this morning, Texas number 3 in the RPI, behind only Arkansas and Fairfield, back up to number 2.
Good old Fairfield. The Stags!
Hanging in there at number 2. TCU number 7 in the RPI, Texas Tech at number 8. Here's where that matters if you're a TCU fan or you're a Texas fan. Say, well, it's not fair. What's fair is I think by winning a share of the conference championship, Texas, in my opinion, Craig, feel free to disagree, they've locked up a top 8.
They have.
At this point.
I thought even if they hadn't won a share of the title, winning the series against West Virginia and getting the 40 wins with their RPI would have been enough. You add to it the fact that they earn a share in the top seed out of the number 2 ranked Power 5 league in the country, it's a no-doubter now. Absolutely.
I think the big thing now in Oklahoma City, and you can make the argument that Texas Tech has a better resume than TCU, even though TCU clinched a share of the conference championship with their win on Friday. I think that 2-3 game, if they both make it to a second-round game in the Big 12 tournament, I think Texas Tech and TCU are playing for a top 8.
That would be 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. Mark that down. Because on the two winners bracket, the two teams that advance in the winners bracket will play the afternoon and evening game. So if the Longhorns win Wednesday over the play-in winner, West Virginia-Kansas winner, then Texas will play the last game on Thursday night. It'd be roughly 7:30, depending on the length of the other. The two elimination games would be at 9 a.m. and then 12:30. And then the first winners bracket game would be approximately 4 o'clock. That would be TCU-Texas Tech.
And I, you can make the argument, Craig, that Texas Tech has a better resume because their one spot separates them in the RPI as of today. TCU 7, Texas Tech 8. But you start looking at wins versus RPI teams.
By the way, they also won the series against TCU.
They won the series over TCU. Texas Tech has 12 top 25 wins in the RPI this year. TCU was 7. You extrapolate that out. Now, they both got 13 top 50 wins, but 12 top 25 wins for Texas Tech as of right now. You can make the argument right now that Texas Tech, even before they play hypothetically in that winner's bracket game, that Texas Tech's more deserving of a top 8.
What hurt them was the 14-10 conference record.
Yeah,
They finished 3 full games behind TCU, factoring in even winning the series against TCU. What hurt Tech was losing 2 out of 3 at home to Baylor, a Baylor team that's sliding here at the end of the regular season. Not a good time for it. They dropped 2 of 3 in Stillwater and then dropped 2 of 3 at home to Oklahoma, a 500 team. That really hurt the Bears, who, by the way, I think are not a lock to be in right now. How many times have we said it? Baylor going to Oklahoma City, needing to win probably a game or two. I think there's still bubbles positive side, but by a very slim margin. They do not need to go to and barbecue in Bricktown this week.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be my next thing, Craig, was talking about Baylor. So when you look at the Big 12, there are 4 that are in at this point. Texas, TCU, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. By the way, Oklahoma State up to 16 in the RPI.
32-16-1. They ended up playing 49 games. The last game against New Orleans got stormed out. They were finishing up outside of conference play this weekend. But they finished level 500, important, in a Power 5 league. Finished in 4th, level 500. So that helped them there, whereas Baylor could have finished fifth and could have been level 500.
Yeah.
They lost Oklahoma at home to finish sub-500 and dropped to sixth place in the conference standings.
Oak State fifth in the country in strength of schedule also, by the way. Mm-hmm. So Baylor, to your point, Craig, they're 40 in the RPI, 31 and 18. Yeah, they're going to, as usual with Baylor, they're going to Oklahoma City with some work to do.
Yeah, it's not done yet. I mean, 40 RPI, okay, and you know, it's just the backsliding the last couple of weeks hurt the Bears. The dropping 2 of 3 in Stillwater, we all looked at that as being a showdown series, and then dropping the 2 of 3 at home to Oklahoma, which I know a lot of folks were not expecting. That certainly didn't help.
So somebody was asking on the Specs text line 337-3776, the Big 12 tournament, every as far as television broadcast,
mm-hmm.
Everything is going to be on ESPN+, with the exception of the following games. And this is what I got from the conference yesterday or late Saturday night, Craig. So if anything is wrong,
okay,
feel free to correct me. So I'm showing everything's on ESPN+,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of the following games. On Wednesday, the 3-6 game, Texas Tech and Baylor, that's a 9 a.m. game.
That'll How about be some
a,
breakfast at Bricktown yeah, at 9 a.m. right on the U?
That'll be on ESPNU. Also on ESPNU, you go to Thursday, the both losers bracket games will be on ESPNU. That's a 9 o'clock and a 12:30. And then everything after that is on Plus until you get to the championship game, which will be 5 o'clock Sunday, mm-hmm. on the Deuce.
That's correct. Our good friend and broadcast colleague Keith Moreland is working several of those telecasts. They've kind of changed his schedule a couple times, guys. I can't quite remember. I think they're doing evening sessions.
I think it's Keith and Greg Swindell, I think.
Yes, they are. Uh-huh.
On the call for
yeah,
that.
Yep. So they're splitting assignments, like they're doing two games a day on Wednesday and Thursday. I think they may be doing both elimination games on Friday. Doesn't know if they're doing games Saturday, so it'll be like that. Roger Wallace will be with me up there until we get to the weekend. Then Raj comes back, and if Texas makes the championship round, Keith will be with me on Sunday for that one. So you're right. There's still things to do. Mike Antico, as you pointed out, wins Big 12 Newcomer of the Week honors. And Cameron Thompson, who had one of those doubles in the ninth for Kansas State, wins the Big 12 Player of the Week honors, the final ones for the regular season. I'm really curious to see who wins the awards, which we as the media don't vote on. I vote on those weekly awards, but not on the Player of the Year, Pitcher of the Year, Newcomer of the Year, and Coach of the Year. The coaches vote on all of those.
Okay. Let's run down real quick, Craig, because I want to go to that.
Yep.
So chances Texas gets any of the following.
Mm-hmm.
Player of the Year, I don't think so. I think Jace Young at Texas Tech is going to be your Big 12 Player of the Year.
It's going to be Jace Young. The numbers are just too prolific.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
For those of you wondering, Jace Young finishes the year batting .372 with a .500 on base percentage, slugging .779, and led the Big 12 with 20 home runs and 65 RBI.
Yeah.
So I think there's no question. Pitcher of the Year, we know Texas has some candidates. Tristan Stevens led the conference in wins. Also, I think was second or third in innings pitched. Obviously, Ty Madden's going to be in the mix for that. But, you know, Pete Hansen, Craig, ends up leading the Big 12 in ERA at 1.83. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think Pete's going to be Pitcher of the Year, but he probably got himself into a first or second team all-conference spot.
May have. May well have. And you're right. That, to me, is probably the biggest mystery of all of them. Who's going to win Pitcher of the Year? You would have said Halen Green would have stood probably the best chance with 11 saves for TCU had the blow-up not happened on Saturday.
Right.
May happen. He may still win it anyway, but he's had a really good year, Saturday blow-up notwithstanding. So he may still win it. Justin Campbell, I guess, from Oklahoma State, who had the no-hitter this year, I think he has a real shot at it also.
I think Tristan Stevens will get some yep. consideration for mm-hmm. that as well. Newcomer of the Year is interesting because Jace Young technically could win that. I don't know. Has there been years where a guy won Player of the Year and Newcomer of the Year?
Yeah, but I don't think Jace Young will get that because I don't think he technically qualifies as a newcomer.
So are those guys that got that technically got the COVID situation or whatever, are they not going to qualify? Or
I think that's – well, the guy who's probably going to win it is Christian Encarnacion Strand.
Yeah.
He had some eye-popping numbers for Oklahoma State. Now, that said, Ivan Melendez is going to get some consideration, I think. Mike Antico might get some consideration. But I would say Christian Encarnacion Strand is probably going to be the odds-on favorite for that.
Yeah, I think Jared McKenzie of Baylor was your preseason newcomer of the year. And if I remember, I think Jace Young was the preseason player of the year, was he not?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
No, I'll tell you who it was. I think it was Dylan Noisy. Who got injured.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I knew it was somebody from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And then your preseason pitcher of the year, it was a tie between Ty Madden and Jordan Wicks.
Yeah.
It was a tie. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Longhorns look. There's going to be a lot of guys on this team end up first or second team all Big 12, but those superlatives, again, there's some candidates. I just don't think any of them are slam dunks at this point. What are you thinking about Coach of the Year real quick, Craig?
You know, I didn't even think about it until last night. I started thinking about it, and I thought, how could it not be David Pierce?
I think it's
Texas was picked, what, fourth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fourth, and they wind up winning the title or sharing the title and being the one seed because TCU and Tech were the favorites,
I think David Pierce, I think Tim Tadlock makes a strong argument because of all the injuries they dealt with throughout the year.
That's certainly a possibility.
But considering where they were picked in the preseason, how they started, and then to win 40 of your last 50, get a share of the conference championship. Yeah, that might be, of all the superlatives, that might be the one that's most likely
to happen to a Longhorn. Yeah. Yep. Okay. All right, we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn.
Hey, it's Aaron Hogan. Attention, Kyle.
And Snoop Daniel.
So we get ready to wrap it up. I will be in Oklahoma City tomorrow and checking in with Jeff. And we'll be bringing you the show from, I guess you might say, primarily from here, but I'll be up there as well. So we'll do that.
We'll be prepared for whatever we need to do tomorrow.
It is, after all, the postseason. So we'll do that. Oh, by the way, speaking of prepared, just to let folks know, Texas State, they begin pool play in the Sun Belt Tournament tomorrow night. They play Appalachian State, and then I think they play Louisiana. They've got two games. You got two games to prove yourself worthy of getting into a pool bracket final and then going into the double elimination part of it. So we'll see, or the semifinals. All right. Thanks to our man behind the glass, Snoop Daniel. For Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. We thank you for joining us, and we'll visit with you tomorrow right here on Light the Tower.